From our studios in Nashville, Tennessee, we bring you Ask WWCR, a bi-weekly program that discusses the operation of WWCR and various topics of interest to all shortwave listeners. And now, here's the current edition of Ask WWCR.
Welcome to Ask WWCR, program number 501, intended for broadcast August 29 through September 14, 2018. I'm Brady Murray, and I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee, USA, at the WWCR studios, joined by Dr. Jerry Plummer, and by Glenn Tapley of EWTN. And Doc, Glenn, both of you, tell me where you are.
We're in Bratislava, Slovakia at the moment, and flew into Austria, Vienna, Austria. And so the HSEC this time around is in Bratislava.
In Bratislava. Is that a destination that you two have been to before?
Doc has.
Yeah, I've been once before, Brady. This is at a different hotel. This is Glenn's first time.
Am I right? Is there, you guys are close to Italy, I believe. Is that right?
Well, we're
like one country over?
Well, the closest that we are to another country is Austria.
Okay.
Italy's on down a little bit to the south, but it's, you know, the Vienna, Austria, and Bratislava, Slovakia, are sort of like twin cities. They have, matter of fact, they've got a boat that will take you down the Danube and back called the Twin City Liner.
That's right.
Hmm.
And they're very close together. How far, you say, Doc? About an hour's drive?
Maybe, yeah, about an hour's drive in a car, Brady. So they're kind of close to each other. And I think probably Vienna has got a little bit more history behind it, you think, Glenn?
Well, it's well known.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
Bratislava, not so much, but used to be behind the Iron Curtain.
Oh, yeah.
Along with the Czech Republic, made up Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
And they broke away from each other and created their own republics. One thing that the listeners probably will be really interested in, Doc, is our trip from Vienna to Bratislava and the windmills.
Oh, yeah. It's probably one of the largest group of windmills in one area in the world. Got to be thousands of them, probably.
Yeah, it's just miles and miles and miles of these power windmills that they've got up here, and all turning and all creating electricity.
Yeah, they're probably at least 50 to 100 foot in the air, I would think, don't you, Glenn?
Oh, I think they're probably that or even better.
Maybe even higher.
I'm curious as to what propels the windmills. I understand that wind does that, but is that known to be a windy area?
Yeah, I'd asked somebody, and they said that historically that little stretch through there of about maybe 10 miles has been known for being always gusty. And it must be true because, like Glenn says, all of those things are turning.
Windmills are an interesting sight. I've seen some of those out in Kansas before, kind of like you're describing. Just
Yeah.
Probably hundreds, if not thousands. It's an impressive sight.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
And so the listeners know that you two are not there just on holiday together. You're at the HFCC. And which one are we on now?
I knew you was going to ask that, unfortunately. this is the B-20 series.
No, 19.
I'm a year ahead, ain't I?
Right? B-19, right.
What? B-19.
Brady, a whole year.
Okay, so the B usually...
43, as a matter of fact.
B-19.
And the B is the fall, winter, into 2020, right?
It'll start at the end of this month, the 28th of October. Wait a minute, this is August.
Ready?
We're jet lagging.
You're only, 7 hours difference, Glenn.
Well.
You've expanded it into a couple of months.
It starts October 28th, and it runs through March 10th, I believe.
Yeah, right.
Something like, or the end of March, rather.
It's not exactly, but closely tied to... daylight savings time starting in. Not exactly, but there's a little difference because the European schedule is slightly different than what us in America have for DST.
Mm-hmm. And, Doc, have you been able to maybe get some frequencies from EWTN?
Yeah, I've been trying to steal some. He's pretty slick. They've got it set up to where when you try to take one, if it's a collision, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
Kent pops up and he comes and asks me about it, you know?
Oh, so he's on his game over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pretty good attendance for the HFCC?
Yeah, yeah. We've got over 80 this time around. I think it's representing, I don't have a final count, but I think it's 67 countries. But we'll know better in the next day or so. Pretty good representation around the world. And, of course, one of the things, in addition to, you know, the typical frequency coordination this week, is it's sort of a memorization thing for Aldrich Chip.
I wondered about this, yes. The founder of the HFCC, and what have they done in his honor at this meeting?
Well, they started off and created an award called the Aldrich Chip Broadcasting Excellence Award, and began it this year. And they made up a plaque, and they gave the first one to Aldrich's son, Vladislav.
Mm-hmm.
That's beginning the sequence. And I believe they're going to try to make that an annual one for example, who represents, you know, all the good stuff that's being done in the world of shortwave broadcast.
Well, that's an excellent idea. Does that lend itself later to maybe attack ads on each, like a political type thing? Could support, you know, William Glenn? For
yeah. Well, I'm already putting his name in the pocket for next year for being the shortwave's man of the hour, you know?
Man of the hour. Okay. Does he get to choose the hour?
No.
All right. Don't give him too much.
There's always a drawback or something like that.
And I guess you flew into Vienna?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that was a long trip, and that came on the heels of another long trip that you just took.
Yeah, so. I just back from Anguilla, so I was telling Glenn about that. I wanted to be sure that he and anyone else knows that was not a holiday. That was definitely not a holiday.
I understand that you made a presentation to some government officials there.
Yes, we did. They'd had some troubles with their shortwave license, and they had asked me to come down and help them meet with the government and represent sort of a more official approach to, you know, that things to do with the safety of the antenna and items related to renewal of the shortwave license. That went successfully, too, by the way.
Just to clarify, we're talking about the CBB, the Caribbean Beacon, and some trouble with the license. And as you say, it was not a vacation. I think that you appeared along with an attorney and also an engineer to provide information that would allow them to reinstate their license. Is that right?
That's true. That's exactly it. And the island is still in pretty rough shape. The beacon itself is intact. But the island is still having troubles rebounding.
And that's due, of course, to, was it Hurricane Irma?
I think it's Irma, wasn't it? Okay. Irma. Glenn?
Yeah.
Probably about a year ago.
Yes.
Super, super destructive. I believe that's the same one that caused, I have no idea what the death count is in Puerto Rico, but it was a genuine, disastrous, terrible storm.
For here, we don't have to worry about it too much. I don't know. Is there earthquakes that they look at? Is there anything like that over here?
I don't know.
I don't know.
They don't have so many natural disasters like we do, flooding and things like that. I'm sure they get their share, but this particular area, you know, I don't think they're really aware of, like, tornadoes.
No, I don't think so.
Hurricanes,
no.
Certainly not.
No.
Some other things like that.
It's worked out real well so far. Glenn, sort of like me, I've had had to work through several collisions, and Glenn has worked on rebuilding some of your schedule too, did you, Glenn? Are you kind of rearranging some of the frequencies or something?
Yeah, right. Yeah, we have to fit programming, both the AM/FM domestic stations as well as shortwave. You know, shortwave, when you do a frequency change, you need some time to make that frequency change.
Mm-hmm.
AM/FM, there's no such thing, so the programming is timed to work well in the AM/FM world, not so much in the shortwave. So I have to schedule around some Yeah, that's true. There is a time difference in that, isn't it? Because FM is just instant.
Right, yeah. I mean, FM programming runs up, for instance, an hour in our AM-FM domestic radio world would be 57 minutes and 20 seconds. And then there will be a break at the top of the hour. Then the ID at 15 seconds before the top of the hour. And when it hits the top of the hour, programming begins.
Mm-hmm.
But in shortwave, you need longer than those, you know, few moments at the end of 5720 to make that frequency change. And so on those hours, I'm finding some more time, having to reschedule a little bit around that. As long as the frequencies are still working to the target areas, that's not a problem. But I've put it on a clock that gives them at least 4 minutes to make that frequency change at the top of the hour.
That's good.
And Glenn, I'm curious, if you at EWTN or WEWN shortwave, do you have to be concerned also with the frequencies that you're using simultaneously and how that can affect your operation?
Say again, Brady.
For example, at WWCR, if we see an open frequency that we'd like to jump on, but we have another frequency in use at the same time and we're aware that those two are going to be too close together or coupled due to the location of the antennas, we have to pass on a good frequency because it would likely interfere or cause damage to our equipment here.
I know what you're talking about. You get harmonic beats.
Mm-hmm.
If the frequencies are too close together, if you're doing 15, 6, 10, and you're doing 15, 3, 10, or something like that, you're going to cause a beat in the transmitters. You also have to deal with your harmonics,
mm-hmm.
And you have to steer away from frequencies in the same coming out of the same plant that would cause the harmonics. So we do that. And of course, we don't worry about the AM/FM frequencies because AM is on a medium band of the spectrum. Shortwave is on a higher frequency band.
Mm-hmm.
And FM doesn't affect anything, but yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Certainly got to stay away from harmonics.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Area, and you don't want to create those beats that can happen.
I guess that my point is that you take into consideration all of your programming, the timing of the programming, your own operation, and then you go in front of representatives from 67 countries and negotiate the use of frequencies. And they're just a bunch of layers to the whole operation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you're right. You're right about that. And it's challenging, but it's a lot of fun. You can ask Doc, when 7 o'clock a.m. Alabama time is hit, my phone starts going off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Right. And, Doc, I think that your professoring life restarted on Monday of this week as well, did it?
Yeah. Yeah, where his phone goes off, my email goes off, you know.
You guys are staying busy for sure. Gentlemen, I appreciate both of you joining in for show number 501, calling in from Bratislava, and hopefully that you two will be back safely in the United States of America very soon. All right?
All right, Brady. Thanks a lot.
Good to talk to you.
Ask WWCR is a biweekly presentation of WWCR Incorporated. If there are questions you would like to have answered during the show, send them to Ask WWCR, 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218, USA. You can also send an email to askwwcr@wwcr.com. No email attachments, please. That's askwwcr@wwcr.com. Be listening for your questions to be answered on future editions of Ask WWCR.